I'm not a preacher. I get the privilege of preaching about once or twice at Harpeth Hills. Sometimes go out and do conferences or speak of somewhere that the folks are crazy enough to invite me. But I'm glad to be here. I'm honored to be here. See, even the most ardent, most forceful legalist in the room, even you understand, you wouldn't be here without grace, without the goodness of a gracious God. Grace has always been a theme of my life, and I was performing a wedding. I guess this was 3 years ago, and situation was a fine Christian man was in his 30s, never been married, and he was going to marry a lady who'd had a tough road. She had been married, and then her first husband ran off on her with another woman. On top of that, the lady was pregnant with her first child. So the husband leaves her while she's pregnant. And by the grace of God, she finds this Christian man who they have a lovely family now. So I'm thinking about this. This wedding's down in Williamson County on the rolling hills of Williamson County. It's on a horse farm. And it's a May or June day, and I mean, it's beautiful. The sun is shining bright. The tulips are out. The azaleas are just now up at their peak, and it was just beautiful. And as a preacher, you know when you do these weddings, you do the I do's, but the preacher always has about a little five-minute sermon, a little lesson. And I think, I know what I'm going to say today. This is all about grace. We are here today at this wedding because of grace. And so I get there and I talk about the beauty of the day, and then I say, and the man's name was Ryan. And Ryan, you are not only becoming a husband today, you're adopting this child. You're making him your son. This is all about grace. And you know how preachers do, Rodney. Preachers can make one word have three or four syllables. So, you know, I'm pouring it on. I'm going, we're all here because of grace. Well, at the end of the wedding, after I've covered that wedding in grace, true story, you can't make this stuff up. The mother of the bride runs up to me, grabs me, and says, "Preacher, you said we were all here because of grace, right?" "Yes, that's right, grace. Did you have any idea that the name of the woman who my daughter's deadbeat first husband ran off with, her name was?" That's me. Only I can do that. So, don't hear my words today. Hear my heart. Because my words may get us in trouble, okay? I love the ending of this psalm, Psalm 22. The very last two verses. Take out your smartphones. Take out your Bibles. Circle them. They're good words. Psalm 22. They're really good words. They have to do with all of us in this room. Verse 30. Posterity, generations, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring it to a people yet unborn. He has done it. Here's what we all have in common. We all have a history. If you want to have the most boring friend you've ever met, give me a call. I'll be your friend, okay? If you're looking Who can I find time with that I can have the most boring time ever with? I'll give you my cell phone number. Give me a call. We'll have the best boring time ever because my wife just says I'm a big nerd. So I love history. I mean, we're on our honeymoon, and we're looking at all the old places and the old bridges in New England. I'm on Ancestry.com. I'm probably kin to half of you. You just don't know it. I'm all over the place. I love that stuff. I've been to every presidential library in America. I have biographies of every president, okay? I've read all three volumes of Churchill, okay? I'm a big nerd that way. And I love Church of Christ history. I love our history, believe me. I know God is active in a lot of places, but I love our history. So, I grew up in the backwoods of Georgia. Now, for you city folk, you can't understand any of this. You're like my wife. She grew up in a city in a big church, 1,500 members, Mayfair and Huntsville, and she can't relate to any of this. But some of you people who are blessed enough, you grew up like I did in a church, less than 100 people. And we were in the backwoods of Georgia. So for all of us who are favored by the Lord, if you grew up in a church less than 100 people, raise your hand high. There are some people who the Lord loves enough to give us this blessing. Well, this little church, I mean, we're country. I mean, just like a Tammy Wynette song, we were country before country was cool. We were in a little building that had no classrooms, had an outhouse. I mean, this is the 70s, an outhouse. Those of you who don't know what an outhouse is, go home and ask your mommies and daddies, okay? Even those of you who are in your 50s who don't know what an outhouse is, go home and talk to somebody. We'll explain it to you later. This little church, half of you would be judged as not right with the Lord because you're wearing pants this morning as a woman. I mean, we were tough on people. I mean, it was a hard-nosed church. But those were my people. We were a small church. We loved each other. Kind of church where we sang, "Oh, Why Not Tonight" on Sunday mornings. We had only my cousin, Dina, so we didn't have a youth group. We had a youth couple. That's all we had. So Dina and I would always go, and we went to church on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, and we never complained about it. We kind of liked it, seeing our people. So we would go home after church on Sunday morning, and together we would go to one of our houses, and we would always play church. Any of you ever do this? We would line up the animals. Little animals, stuffed animals, we would have them all lined up, and they were the church. And Dina and I were leading a service, and Dina and I had to have a church split almost. She wanted to be the preacher. I had to put my stop to that. I'm the preacher, Dina, not you. And we're having church service there. We have the grape juice, and we're just playing church. And then we want to be like the deacons in our church, so we would go outside to the carport, take out our candy cigarettes, and start to smoke like the rest of the deacons did. I mean, we had a great time. Those were my people. Were they messed up? Yes. Were they a little judgmental? Yes. But I'm so grateful. That little church took care of us. I'm 10 years old, and I obeyed the gospel. I come forward and be baptized. And I don't know what we were singing that morning. I think it was Trust and Obey, I believe. And I come forward, and I'm crying because I know this is a big deal. And I give my life to Jesus. I get out of the baptistry. My Uncle Doc walks up to me. Uncle Doc was about my weight and half my height, okay? So he waddles up to me. Uncle Doc says, "Well, Jason, you know what this means, right? You're a baptized male believer." And so I'm thinking, maybe it means that my name's written in the book of life. Maybe it means that my sins are washed away. Uncle Doc said, "Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, all baptized male believers are coming to the men's business meeting. I'll pick you up. You're going to go to the..." I'm 10 years old, going to the men's business meeting, deciding the preacher's salary as a 10-year-old. Something is wrong with this picture. But those are my people. Those are the people where God found me and had me in. Have you ever met people who especially grew up in our heritage and they got a little chip on their shoulder? Well, you know, back then we were also, of course we were. They're going to say that about us one day. Here's the word for the day. Wherever God has brought you through the pain or through whatever journey, whether you grew up like my sweet wife in the city, and by the way, my daughter this morning is getting a Bible from church. All the baptized folks the past year are getting their Bibles, and so my wife is there, my daughter at Harpeth Hills getting her Bible this morning, or she'd be here. But whether you grew up like my sweet wife, where she doesn't know much about church politics. All the churches she grew up in were just as sweet as can be, and they were awesome and all. She goes back and she thinks I'm making up half the stuff about my little church I grew up in. I'm not. It's all true. Be grateful. I've never met anyone who was was gracious and had gratitude, who the Lord didn't use. Just be grateful. I know this church has had some history as well. You've had transitions. Let me read the verse before I say this next part, because you need to hear the word of the Lord. Again, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring a people yet unborn. He has done it. So if we can be grateful, then we can have a good perspective. I think somewhere in the 1800s, this church met maybe close to Rock Island. I can't remember. And there was a building that burned down. And I can catch up to your history, know more about it when you were down the road. I think there were two buildings in that location, or there was an add-on. And then some of you actually marched down on a Sunday morning to this location right here. You heard me about my grace and my heritage. If you are one of those people who marched down that street to this new building, this church says thank you. This church says thank you for still being faithful and being here. In fact, if you are one of those folks, would you please stand up? Whoever was in this room, don't be ashamed. Look around here. Can we say thank you to these brothers and sisters? Last time they're going to invite me back here, why did he make us stand up? Because we're grateful for you. And then you had some transitions. You know, anybody who's going to tell the truth will tell you, you've had some preacher transitions. But this church is not committed to a preacher. This church is not committed to an eldership. This church is not committed to the rest of the ministry staff. This church is not committed to someone's family. This church is committed to Jesus Christ. So the future is good. The future is good because God promises us for future generations will be blessed. Their future is good. Let's talk about our families, and then I'm going to wrap us up. Church is the best place to hide. And here's what I've discovered. Now, I'm no genius counselor like Brian over here, but I'm smart enough to know something. The angriest among us, those that have the most desire to prove to the rest of us that they're right and we're wrong, typically are the ones who are carrying the most pain. Hear me again. The angriest among us in any church, The ones that have to prove to all of you how wrong you are and where I'm the right one are the ones that are carrying the most pain that's never been dealt with. So when a brother or sister walks up to you and says, can you believe that? Just have grace. They're broken. Don't try to solve it. We can't fix people. God fixes people. Just have grace. In my own life, man, my wife married into the Jerry Springer family, I promise you. So my grandfather was a leader in the church, so I know some of this stuff, okay? I'm speaking from experience. He was a closeted alcoholic. My grandmother was a kind of a matriarch, the town nurse. She's a little small town. She had the hospital there. She did it all. I think there were like three nurses that rotated into four or five beds at the hospital. So my mom was born. I've been told she was born shaking, and she always kind of shook a little bit. Had just something in her physiology that just made her a little bit off. Well, someone saw that in her and saw her as a victim, potentially. And she's passed away, or I wouldn't be sharing all this. And so as an 8-year-old girl, she was abused. Do you realize that 1 out of 3 people are? And her mom didn't know what to do. So her mom just started giving her medication the rest of her life, what we would call today, she was addicted to opioids. The rest of her life. Struggled. Oh, how she struggled. Got pregnant at 15. Just struggled. And tried to commit suicide a few times. Died young. Died in her 60s. My dad came along. And I love my mom. And I respect my mom, and I understand my mom. But my dad came along, and he's my hero. I think about him every day, miss him every day. Because, see, he fell in love with my mom and my oldest sister, and adopted her, and treated her just like she was born to him. He never showed a difference in her and me. Now, he did show a difference in my middle sister, who had intellectual disabilities and special needs and had severe cerebral palsy. And I know my dad loved me, but oh, my dad loved my sister, took care of her, faithful to her. So here's my dad, loving a wife with mental illness, adopting a child into his family, taking care of her special needs child, and raising a son. I never saw him complain. He was faithful every day. I miss him so much. And I'm trying to take care of my sister the best way I know how. We've got 3 kids. One of our sons adopted. And we try to do the very best we can to raise our own family. My wife works full time as a teacher. And I wish I could give my sister more time, but I do the very best I can. And I know that God is pleased and God is with me. But I know I can't do it the way my dad did it. You see, I'm no different than you, though. Don't take any pity on me. You know, this is not about narcissism, believe me. I know some narcissistic preachers, and it's pretty ugly and disgusting. This is not about narcissism. This is about we've all got something. We've all got something. And God is faithful in it. So don't be ashamed. It's one of the most smothering attributes I see in church. People are ashamed of something. Here's the deal. If we knew all of your garbage, we would not think less of you. We would think more of you. Because you're a thriver. You're a survivor. You're making your life. Like I said, my wife, bless her heart, she has the kind of are you sure some of this happened? You know, because this really sounds awkward, because she doesn't know any of that. She grew up where grandparents were elders and married, and dad and mom were awesome, and they went on camping trips every weekend and sang kumbaya at every dinner table. And I'm kidding, it wasn't that bad. But they had a station wagon with a big camper behind it. And the station wagon had wood down the side of it. And there's two big rearview mirrors on the side. I mean, it was the... She comes from such security, and it's beautiful. And by the grace of God, she's my wife. I'm so grateful. Here's what I want you to hear. Somewhere, you're in this picture. And God loved my wife's family and was just as present in her life as he's been in mine. He's just as active in my mama's life. Now, I've got this imagery that I think is so beautiful. That my mama, I may not get to see her in heaven. And I know these are my words, not the scripture's words. My words. I don't think I'll see my mama as a 60-year-old woman. I think I'm going to see her as an 8-year-old girl laughing and playing before she was ever abused. Because in Christ, all things are made perfect. It's all going to be okay. One more time. Posterity will serve him. All of us, our past, our present, and our future will serve God. Future generations, my children may have to have a little counseling because of their family tree, but my children are going to praise God. We have two daughters from birth and a son we adopted from China. Now, let me tell you something. When we had two daughters, we would never admit this, but we would look at each other and go, we're pretty good at this. We know what we're doing. We're good parents. Having a son, oh my goodness. And we're like, he is so busy. He is always on the go, and he's just moving all the time. And we first adopted him from China. When we had the girls, my wife didn't work at home. But then when we had him, you know, she's working. I'm having to take him to preschool. I'm running around grabbing stuff. And my wife's very economical. So we would have his diapers and this little paste you put on your bottom for little babies. You know what I'm talking about? That little paste to keep him from rashing. And I'm a nervous wreck. I'm moving around. I'm grabbing stuff. We go home. And he's having to share a locker at preschool with little Margaret. Okay? So my son's name, he's a good Southern boy, is Will Hudson. He's got two first names. Will Hudson. So Will Hudson... And I go to preschool, and I pick him up. He's like, oh, Daddy. And he's had a explosion. And he's like, my bottom hurts. And so I grab the paste from there, and I change him and put on the paste, and I start to go, Well, apparently in the same little tub, same type of tub, little Margaret's family were real healthy eaters. And so little Margaret's mama, and my son goes, oh, it's burning, Dad, it's burning. And so little Margaret's mama had sent raw vegetables and ranch dressing in a little tub. So here I am putting ranch dressing on my son's behind. This parenting stuff is hard work. It's hard work. Not because mom and daddy are good, but because God is good. I want my children and my grandchildren and their grandchildren to know the Lord. Not because this church was so great in the 1800s and not because of, well, you know, you got Brother Cloud here, and you know, you got Brother Cloud as one of these Bible scholars, We all love Brother Cloud, right? But that's not the reason this church is great. This church is great, and it has its best days ahead of it for future generations because we serve the great God who was and is to come. I can say all this with confidence because I gave my life to Jesus, was baptized, and I've made a lot of mistakes along the way. But God loves me. He loves you. What is God still going to do in your life? Well, Jason, you know, now I'm kind of getting on up there. No, what is God going to do in your life? He's not done. The only reason I told you about this church stuff and the family stuff was just to share with you, I realize it is all the work of God. And by his grace and his mercy, we can proclaim with Paul, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations. For all generations. Forever and ever. Amen. If you want to give your life to Christ this morning, we would love to. I'm sure the baptistry is ready. We'd love to offer that invitation to you. Or if you just want a time of prayer this morning, we would be honored to pray with you. As together, we stand and sing.